Blog Talk Radio.
I just want to make it to heaven. Just wanna make it in. Oh, I just wanna cross that river.
Father,
I wanna be free from sin. Oh, oh, I just want my name written. Oh Lord. Life is over. Woo! Just wanna have eternal life.
We praise God this evening to sit in for Minister Ken Fireson. We continue to pray for he and his family for such a time as this. We all will one day face that inevitable reality that a loved one has been called to heaven. So we pray for our brother, Minister Ken Fireson, and his family. I thank God I had a chance to see my brother last Friday, and then later on that afternoon is when his father was called on home. We had a great time while there, and he was very excited because he had assured himself that his father was saved. He had earlier led his father to the Lord. And so we thank God for that reality. No one would like to deal with a reality that a loved one is not saved, has not had an opportunity to know our Father. So we thank God for that. Tonight we want to have a dialogue with you. We began the process of dealing with some issues and concepts that surround our children and how we can improve in that area. So before we go into that, let's just pause for a moment and invite in the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you glory and honor. We welcome you in, Father. We thank you that as you come in and make yourself at home, that you may reveal to us the mysteries of the kingdom in such a manner that we may be able to comprehend and to digest, to receive, and then regurgitate in our actions what you share and what you show us and what you teach us. We thank you that we are able to come together, separated by distance and separated by even maybe time zones. But at the end of the day, we're all together as one. Father, we pray, first of all, tonight for our families. We pray, Father, for the institution of marriage. We pray, Father, for our abilities as parents to take care of those things that you have called us to do. And, Father, as we come before your throne, we come with express humility, and we come with thanksgiving, giving you glory, honor, and praise. And, Father, we come with the authority of Jesus, for he said that in my name, that if you would ask anything in my name, the Father would honor that request. Now, Father, we know and understand that it doesn't mean anything that we may begin to think of that's not consistent with your word. But Father, since we delight ourselves in you, we know that you will give us the desires of our heart because they are consistent with your express will for our lives. We welcome you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, seriously, my brothers and my sisters, tonight, we really want to hear from you. We want to hear from you based on some conversation that we started actually last week. We started a conversation last week where the subject matter was, what can we do to really improve? What kind of strategies must we implement to see improvement in the state of apathy which seems to exist today in our reality? What are the strategies we can put in place? And so as you know, you can simply hit one on your touch tone phone, and I will be able to see that you have a comment to make, and then I will recognize you. And we want to hear your comments. And if you have additional ideas, we'd like to hear those as well. We're building a list. We have 7 areas so far that have been provided to us. One, we must communicate with our children about all aspects of life. 2, we must pray with our children, and we must allow them to pray as well. 3, we must exploit every teachable moment. 4, we must apply prayer and teachable moments to every area of life, spiritually, mentally, financially, physically, emotionally, and socially. We must not allow our children to play the role of the victim, meaning don't allow them to say, woe is me, or because I'm this or that, if that's the reason why I'm not able to achieve, or that's why life seems to be so ugly to me. We must constantly renew our minds to the Word of God, and we must remind our children that God is no respecter of persons. We developed this list in conversations last Friday with the Men We Must Pray prayer lines, which come on each day from 6 to about 8:05 or 8:10 or 8:15, led by the Holy Spirit. And should you have a desire to call in and pray with men from around this nation, from Washington, D.C. to Virginia to Detroit, to Florida to South Carolina, down to Georgia, sometimes over in Texas, if you have a desire to speak with men, real men who love to pray, then feel free to call in to this number, 218-895-0289, 218-895-0289, with access code 1221225. We're going to go to a caller right now to get the show started. 3450413, your mic is open.
Good evening, Brother Jesse. Just wanted to call in. Wanted to kind of speak a little bit more on the number 7. I think one of the things that, and I wasn't able to call in last week, now I don't think on Friday, but wanted to, or I think I never left, I've rambled. Wanted to express to the callers and to all who are listening that mercy is available to us through the Holy Spirit, and we must accept that mercy. One of the problems that I see with the kingdom of God is that God has forgiven us of our sins, and He has forgiven us of our wrongdoing. But Satan is always there, being the accuser, and telling us that we're no good, that we can't be all this and that, that we can't, surely God can't use us, and surely God can't love us for the wrongs that we've done. And a lot of times when God has already forgiven us, we have not forgiven ourselves, and then we can't even forgive others. But just want to express and what I see an issue with a lot of young people is understanding that you know, they will make mistakes. It's the Word of God says foolishness is bound up in a child, but the rod of correction drives it far away. That rod of correction is not always a physical whipping, but it can be a spiritual whipping. But God is also with that discipline and that whipping that He's also bringing consolement and consoling our souls. So just wanted to express that this evening to say that mercy is available for all and that we should receive it, take it, and believe it, and walk in that authority that God has given us. God bless you as always. Love you. Peace and love.
All right, my brother. Hold on a second. Let's have a little bit more, if we could, for a moment on that.
All right.
Because I think that's very powerful. You know, mercy, one of the things we need to understand is that mercy is not sacrifice. And so if we even made an attempt to define mercy, you know, how would we even begin to try to wrap our arms around this? Because when we look at, I just pulled up some scriptures discussing mercy. You're so right on. It's very, very complex. It's very broad. It's very deep. I mean, when you look even back in the Old Testament at mercy, I mean, it's really, because when he says keeping mercy for thousand, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, I mean, have mercy upon me, when Job said that, for I am weak. And then even in the Psalm where it said, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy to deliver their soul. So it looks like, you know, mercy really is one of the requirements necessary. Because when we look at 1 Timothy 1:16, it says, howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should there hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So I think that's very powerful, that if we are not able to really receive mercy, I mean, where we actually receive it. I mean, and look at Jude, he would say, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So I'm going to turn it back to you and ask you, what is it then, what makes it, you think, difficult for us to receive? Because the one more says, Proverbs, I think, 16:6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. So what it makes it difficult for us to receive it?
I would think that the first thing, and what the Spirit is telling me, is that we are so difficult and it's so hard for us to forgive others. So how can we then receive this mercy, this grace, this love that God has for us when it's so hard for us to put it out? And it's always a two-way street. God is always forgiving us and providing grace and mercy and loving us, and we ought to love him and glorify him. But we also, we walk among men. We walk among, and I've said with men or mankind, but we can, you know, it's easy to say, you know, when somebody's wronged you, you know, I can't forget that. I can't forget that. I can't forgive them. But, you know, the ideal prayer, I mean, when, you know, it talks about forgiving others as those who or trespass against those who are not trespass against us. It's so difficult for us just to receive that mercy, that grace, that love that God has for us. And then, secondly, I believe that we have been so beat up and so confused by the enemy that we don't really walk in the authority and the anointing that God provides and speaks to us. One of the great things that I love about the prayer, our prayer time, is that we're transparent, but that we speak life to situations. And you know that there's been many situations within my family, within my own personal life, that I've had to have one of you or a brother or even a sister say, okay, J-Van, let's speak life to that situation. We know what it looks like. We see what it is in the natural, but let's make this thing spiritual. Let's see, let's deal with what it really can be. Let's start speaking life, you know, letting those dry bones have light to them. And I think we have this mindset that we have to be, oh, woe is me, and we got to be so humble. Yes, there's a time to be humble, but then there's a time that we walk with authority. We walk with victory. We walk with power and anointing. And we understand that, yes, that same anointing and power is the same anointing and power that put Christ on a cross and that allowed him to die on the cross but yet live again 3 days later. And I think when we start dealing with those two issues, I think that the kingdom will be in a much better mindset, in a much better place, and then we'll be able to not be boastful about what God has done, or to a place where, you know, it's a free get out of hell card, but just be boastful to know that, you know what, God has taken care of me before. He's going to take care of me again. I know I messed up. I know I'm not perfect. And this process that we call life is a perfecting thing. And we won't become perfect until he calls us up to be with him. So I think if we get those two things and start dealing with those two things, I think that we will be in a much better place.
My brother, let me tell you something. You have spoken under the anointing, because here's the deal. Think about it. The reason why so many can't receive mercy is because, as you said, they haven't forgiven. See, when we look at what Jesus said in Matthew 6:9-13, he said, pray therefore like this. And so when Jesus is telling us, even the act of forgiveness is a proactive reality. He says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven. It didn't say, and forgive us our debts so we will. No, it's as we have all, it's already happened.
Uh-huh.
I've already forgiven them. I've already remitted it. I've already let go of it. I've given up any resentment. I already did it. And see, think about it. So often then when you have conversation with somebody, they're still holding on to the thing of saying whether or not they can forgive. Well, we now look at forgiveness almost as a reactive state. You did something to me, so I got to think about whether or not I want to forgive you. And so in that mindset, even looking at this scripture, you don't have a proactive strategy that now you can go to God and say, look, I forgave this or that or whatever. Father, I want your forgiveness now. Because when you look at that from that perspective, Jesus said, you know, he says, say it like this. And so now, you proactively say it. I already forgave knucklehead. I let go of the anger. I let go of all of this stuff that person did to me. So, Father, now, please forgive me. I mean, think about that just for a moment. That's totally different how most people look at forgiveness. Most people look at forgiveness from a standpoint of you did something wrong to me, and so now I'm waiting on you to come back and ask me, will you forgive me? Versus, you did something wrong, but I already forgave you, and it's already done. So you don't have to ask me, because it's already done, because I want to be able to go to my Father and in return, expect him to forgive me.
My spirit is just jumping with joy, because I'm also thinking about, I'm so glad that we have a Father in heaven that don't act like us. Because when you put it in that perspective, and when you put it in that way of thinking, here we are. We are his creation, and we've offended him. And God, rightfully so, to say, you know what, I'ma wait for y'all to get y'all thing in order. I'ma wait for y'all to ask for forgiveness. No, he was proactive and said, you know what, I got to create myself in the form of my Son, God in the spirit, in the embodiment of Jesus Christ, and say, I'm going to be proactive, and I'm going to redeem them. I'm not going to ask them. I'm not going to wait on them, but I'm going to make sure that they're right by redeeming their souls. And how can we sit back and be reactive when God has been proactive ever since the beginning of time?
Hey, that's it, my brother. That's it. And I'm going to encourage anyone else, if you want to get on this dialogue, just hit one, because we basically evolve into the perspective that it's difficult maybe sometimes for people to receive mercy simply because, you know, they have not forgiven. They are still waiting. It's just still waiting. It could be, as I think it is, so as Minister J. Van is saying here, that they are not proactive as God was. And that was a beautiful illustration you gave, to where God proactively said, he proactively put that ram in the bush for Adam. So, I mean, that was a proactive thing. You know, he proactively gave Moses an out when Moses didn't do what he said with the rock. I mean, so you are absolutely, I mean, that's a beautiful connection. So we're going to have to come back also another time and do an explosion of that piece, the connection with mercy and forgiveness, because I think there's a supernatural connection on that piece, because we can then expect mercy. We can receive mercy when we know that we have made it available to others. I mean, that is so powerful, my brother. So any other brothers and sisters, if you want to make a comment, you just hit one on your phone, you'll be recognized. We've been chatting tonight simply about strategies that we can use as parents, but these have universal application. They're just not for our use as parents, but they have universal. But as parents, one in that regard, Minister Willie J., until somebody else may want to put their hands up, this concept of the mind, how we must continue to work on the mind, developing the mind, renewing the mind, okay? You know, from your perspective and what God has brought you through, the challenges that you have faced in your life, what is it that you do? I mean, do you have, like you say, when it's all said and done, you've got at least one particular strategy that you know you can deploy, that when things go wrong or spiritual funk is trying to set in, I mean, is there a particular something you do to make sure you get that mind renewed and back in the right state with God? Can you share a little bit on that piece?
It's what I think we've talked about it before, but it's always a back to basics for me. When I feel mm-hmm. like I'm out of line or not in sync with what's going on, I go back to the basic things that I used to do when I first acknowledged him as the head of my life. Making sure that I read my Bible every day, first thing in the morning, that I'm reading the devotion, that I'm praying more, that now, even as much as my church don't like for me to do, to sing the songs of Zion. I always go back to the basics, and I think when you look at like, you know, these celebrities and athletes, they will tell you when their game is out of sync, they go back to the foundation. They go back to the basics and see what are they doing different now than what they were doing, and then they can build upon that.
My brother, that's beautiful. That's good stuff. Go back to the basics, the fundamentals, because, I mean, I know tonight a lot of folks going to be watching this basketball game, and we're not going to be on long tonight. We're sitting in for Minister Ken Fireson. But when you think about that, every basketball team, every time you get on an airplane, every football team, I mean, what do they do before all of each game? They perform the fundamentals associated with the activity. I mean, I've never gotten on the plane where I didn't see the pilot doing his checklist, which he may have done 1,000 times. And see, that one scripture, Joshua 1:8, is what you're saying. God said, let me tell you something, my son. You know, be courageous, be cheerful. And then at the end of the day, take time to look at my word both day and night. And when you do that, when you stay with that, like you said, reading your word more, you're going to have good success and you're going to have prosperity. You know, one of the things that I began to do recently, because I had tried different ways to make it happen, and we do when we can, but to make sure that I can get some word, reading word every day, I went ahead and subscribed to one that just pops up on my email every day. And so with that every day, I can take a little time, just like you're saying, to just go open it up and read, you know, from the old to the new. And the one thing that I've learned that I agree with you totally, as you go back and you relook at some of those things that you have read before, that you've looked at before, it seems as though God takes that same scripture, that same language, that same information, and gives it to you in a way that's so rich and pertinent to today. And that's why, for me, I find it's just so beneficial to be able to have something to where you can look at it, you can meditate on it, you can see it. And I know there are several brothers that even send out daily reminders, daily scriptures, or whatever. So I'm with you, my brother, 100%, that when things go a little shaky, one of the best things you can do is go back and make sure you cover the basics. Another beautiful perspective, my brother. Praise God for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is giving you some tremendous insight. So, my brothers, any of you other brothers and sisters, there's several of you on the line. I know we're not going to be on here long, maybe another 15 minutes or so. If you want to jump in, push one on your phone. We are just chatting about the seven pieces that we came up with last week in our discussion of how we can be better fathers. And we've already added one to the list, which is mercies, that we must understand and accept mercy because it is available. And we just realize that part of that inability to have mercy, just as Job said, you know, have mercy. Well, mercy is already available. And maybe that asking the question of having mercy was because Job was in a state of confusion based on his condition, feeling, thinking, knowing, well, I really haven't done anything, but am I guilty of not forgiving something? Am I holding something? And who knows? We don't know because the Bible does not give us every particular illustration. Maybe, possibly, he was up there now because his friends had been up there talking all of that smack. It could have been now he was beginning to feel something towards them. Who knows? But let's see what our brother has to say, Brother Eric. Brother Eric, I believe that's you. What's going on, my brother?
Hey, man. I remember when my son was young, he used to always try to put my shoes and walk around in my shoes. And it's like I used to think it was, you know, kind of funny back then, you know. But then as he got older, and now that he's a teenager, and we can wear the same size, he now still wants to, you know, wear my shoes, and he used to irritate me, you know. And just here recently, you know, I was thinking about that, and the Lord put in my mind, he said, what if your son has a desire to walk in your footsteps? That's why he want to wear your shoes. You know, and if that's in fact that he want to walk in your footsteps, where would your steps take him? Where would your steps lead him? You know, and I was like, man, and it changed the whole mindset of him wanting to wear my shoes, and it just made me be conscious of the fact that, you know, when our kids are following us, you know, we have to make sure that, you know, our steps are leading them somewhere that would be rewarding for them, you know. And then God began to share with me. I was like, well, what if I've already led him down a road where, you know, it may be a dead end. And he walking in these footsteps. So he said, well, it's not too late, you know, because you always can turn around and make some new steps, you know, and your kids will follow those tracks, you know. So I just wanted to share that, just that insight that God gave me in that, because it really calmed me down and really gave me a different perspective, even though I don't like them to wear my tennis shoes, because I don't wear tennis shoes a lot, and I like to keep them fresh, you know. But, you know, when God laid that on me, I was like, man, I see that a little different now. So I just praise God for it, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. My brother, I want you to know we added that as a, we must honor any decision by our children to walk in our footsteps. So we have added that to our list, and we're developing this cumulative list, these nuggets of wisdom and insight on what we can do in putting together our strategy to do warfare in an effort to protect and lead our children. So my brother, we're going to capture that. That's powerful. We want to give you other brothers, we're going to be on about another 10 minutes or so, because I know there's some serious Miami Heat and Oklahoma City fans that are on the line. I'm looking at you. So is there any other brother, don't be bashful, or sister, that wants to make a comment about anything that's been said? Reverend Willie J., I got your mic is open as well, my brother. So if there's anything you want to say in response to Brother Eric, I know you got to see Brother Meade. Hold on. Hold that thought.
Okay. Really.
Hold that thought. I'm going to get with Brother Meade. I think this is Brother Meade. Brother Meade, is that you?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right. What's on your mind, my brother?
Good evening. Good evening. Two things that hit my spirit in listening to the dialogue this evening. And I am a living witness, truly, that I believe that my life was going so far down in a bad way because of some decisions that I'd made early in life, that I really lost about 10 years of my life's history because I didn't forgive myself of some of the things that were in my life or occurred in my life, and one of them was having a child out of wedlock. Was a very hard thing for me, and I beat myself up daily because of that and either saying I'm making a wrong decision or a bad decision. So what I hear this evening, the things that hit my spirit, is that I don't see any other way that you can have one without the other, which means that you cannot have grace without having mercy. It's a yin and a yang. They are not separated. Those are truly couplings of the same yoke, that you cannot have grace without having mercy. And I'll share it this way to you, that in my spirit has to walk me through some issues at times, that if we as mankind can get past the I in me that gives up the devil in me and truly let go and let God orchestrate our steps, I've had a more fruitful life by loving God and God loving me than I have by trying to do it on my own or being about what I think should be. So when I gave up the I in me, gave up the devil in me of I can control this as a control fanatic or however you want to say it, but when you let God go, when you let go of your own mankindness, and just know that God is orchestrating your steps. We didn't get this far by ourselves. So I just share that in love, because I truly, by mercy and grace, am I still here. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I'm going to capture that as a number 10. We must forgive ourselves for any mistakes and sins from the past. You know, so we know not only about forgiving others, we got to forgive ourselves, and that was one of the things Reverend Willie J said coming on early. So that's powerful. Thank you, my brother. And I'm leaving everybody's mics open. I'm going to try this tonight. I know when we first started 3-4 years ago, if you left mics on, we got a lot of feedback. But I'm going to leave all mics on. So you may want to use your mute button, knowing that I'm leaving your mic open. Reverend Willie J, you want to have a response to any of those comments?
That's my prayer partner summed it up better than I ever could. I just truly believe in my heart and in my spirit that we have to get to a place where we receive the grace and mercy. And what I keep hearing is grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And when I think about that, I think no matter where I go, there's grace and mercy right there that's got my back, that's ready to just step in and take care of me. One of the things, and I can't remember off out of the 10 items, but one of the things that I really would like for us to share is to be transparent with our children. I think so many times people paint this picture because they have this position now in the church. They're deacon so-and-so, they're reverend so-and-so, they're pastor so-and-so, that they've never made mistakes, that they've never sinned, that they never bumped their head or touched the oven when somebody told them the oven is hot. And I think when we don't be transparent with our children and with young people, then they can't understand how God can forgive them and still use them, and then they can grow and mature into the same things that we are now. You know, we have this, we want to live by example. Then when we do that, I don't mean that we have to share every detail about every sin, but what comes to my mind is that when I was the youth minister at the church, most of the adults was like, you know, can you tell them that they should not go to the prom? And I was like, I can't do that. I went to 3 proms. I went to the prom my junior year, my senior year, and I came back from college and took another girl to the prom. I can't. I'll say, no, but what I can tell them is to go to the prom, celebrate 12 years of education, but remember who you belong to. You are not to be out there gyrating and shaking like you have a sex on the dance floor. You can go and enjoy yourself, but there's a way of doing it. And it goes back to that proactive and reactive. But I really feel that we who had a journey, who still on the journey and still have some time to go on a journey, that we got to be transparent with some of the examples, some of our life experiences, and share with young people, because they can't know that God can bless them through their situations if we don't share that we've been through some similar situations.
All right, my brother, we just got another one. We must be transparent with our life experiences without telling every detail. I mean, I like that. I like that. We must be transparent. Our children must know where God has brought us from. And I would agree with you, because I know sometimes as I watch ministry and ministers, one of the errors I think they sometimes make is just that. They never share their own personal challenges or battles or whatever. And so sometimes it makes it more difficult. The more a pastor, a teacher, evangelist, I don't care who it is, the more they fail to share errors they may have been involved in. I think it's the more difficult it is for people to connect with them. I know for me, I can't even remember the guy's name now, but he used to be a minister that come on, and he was always sharing about how he was a virgin. And I just could not receive from him because I couldn't get around the thing that, man, well, And what I failed to understand was he was speaking the truth. And I could have been embracing that spirit of truth, but since, you know, in my immaturity at the time, since he didn't appear to have any skeletons in his closet, I couldn't connect. Now, I did find years later that some of the skeletons came out where he I think he began to be able to connect. So I agree with that 100%. My brothers,
When I think about A.C. Green, one of the great basketball players, and he talked about him being a virgin, I was like, "Woo, I can't associate with you, man. I don't understand that." But I've been able to share with others, with younger people, to tell them that, you know what, the same God that blessed me, the same God that used me, the same God that elevated me and promoted me to this level of maturity, this level, not just position, but this level of maturity, is the same God that can promote you to even higher heights than what I'm living.
That's right. Because, you know, what you're saying is that I'd rather for my son to have an experience like him than like me. Because, like Brother Gerald said, I would hate for him or any of them to follow me in that footstep. I mean, don't walk in that footstep. Leave that one alone. And so it's a funny thing when you mature and you get older, then you think about some of those same people that when you were immature that you could not relate to. Now that you have children, you hope and pray that now they can relate to them. Since I look for, you know, old tapes and old videos of those people when they may be giving those testimonies so I can share, you know, with my children. And you know, we do it all the time. We'll go and look up something for that very reason, where it's amazing how God is, man. God is something else. He'll take the very thing that you said you couldn't relate to, and he'll show you that, yeah, you told yourself that, so since you told yourself that, you're going to get what you say. And because of that, you allowed that to happen to you.
mm-hmm.
I said, my goodness. Well, in our closing minutes, my brothers, if you've spoken, your mic is still open. Are there any other brothers you may have an ending comment? I know that there are several of you old. You're probably all into the game. I'll find out what's going on a little bit later. But we want to give you a final opportunity to share. We're going to continue to build this list, my brothers. We are now up to, I believe, 11. Yes, we're up to 11. And we're going to build this list, and hopefully we can really develop a war chest of strategies that are practical but also executable. Things that we can do. This list so far is a beautiful list, and we'll keep putting it together. And who knows, at some point, well, we got another brother must want to take a break from the game. I think this may be the sergeant. Let me see, Sergeant Major, what is that? Yeah, that's the Ranger there. What's going on, Ranger?
Ranger, lead the way, sir. it's very powerful. It's very powerful about tonight, and I was listening to all the brothers and summing it all up, and I think you guys have heard me say this many times, and this is something that if we can teach our children or our sons or daughters to show them early, when you tell them about grace and mercy, we had to die to ourselves, as like Jesus had to die when the Father asked him to be crucified on the cross. And even though, you know, I'm quite sure Jesus would probably say, you know, this is rough right here, but not my will be done, but yours. So he had to die to himself. If we can teach our children at a young age and now, even now, to die to themselves, it's not about them. It's about Jesus. And just give them and show them through us, as God lead us, as priesthoods of the house to continue to just lead our families. And by doing that, we have died to ourselves because we continue to do and commit with sacrifice. We constantly commit to show love, all of the fruit of the Spirit. And so I think it's very powerful if we can do that at a young age and continue to do that right now, because it was very powerful how Eric had that illustration about, you know, do I really want my son to walk in my shoes? Well, that's just like me. Do I really want Darryl to walk in my shoes on the things that, you know, that I've done? But through grace and mercy, God has truly, you know, redeemed me and remade me and washed me and cleansed me. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Powerful, brother. I want you to know we've added that we must look for examples of what it means to die to self and honor God. And, of course, share that with our children. And that's powerful, beautiful, well said, my brother. We got another caller. We got another one. It's 794-0307. Your mic is open. I'm leaving all mics open.
This is Paul Richardson. Hey, guys. Hello. Haven't talked to you. God bless you. It's good to be on the call tonight. One thing, a couple comments. The first one is that I found that God's mercy covers us as individuals, and this is something I think we need to teach our kids, because sometimes we believe we heard from God and we move on what we heard from God, and sometimes maybe it wasn't God, or maybe we didn't accomplish what we may thought we should have, and maybe it wasn't God, but His mercy will cover that. As long as you're praying and you're seeking God and everything, sometimes we're going to move and sometimes it's not the right. Sometimes it doesn't work out like we think it should. But we should know that God will cover that as long as we're seeking Him and the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you. I think if we're seeking God, quite often, if we know we're seeking God, but sometimes it just didn't work out maybe the way we think, or maybe we didn't really hear from God. Maybe it was something that we thought we heard from God. Because many times I've moved in my life and done different things, and I just knew, man, this has got to be the will of God. You know, and I really believed it. I got into a situation where it couldn't have been the will of God because of what was going on, but His mercy covered me and got me out of it. At least you sought after. And because of that, I'm going to take care of you. So I think that, you know, many times we don't move on things, and maybe our kids won't make decisions or try things because they're maybe afraid. And I think that if they know that His mercy will cover that, cover those sometimes bad decisions that may not line up with what God wants you to do, but as long as you're seeking Him and you feel it based on what God's telling you, then mercy will cover you. And I've seen that happen numerous times in my life. One other brother was talking about basics, and one thing I found that, you know, the Bible talks about praying at all times without ceasing. And, you know, I pray before I go in meetings. I pray while I'm in meetings. And I really wanted my kids to teach my kids to pray in everything and seek God in everything that they do. And I think as parents and as individuals, that's something that, you know, we don't talk about as much because in corporate America, or even around your friends, you don't want to be a holy roller, or you don't want people thinking of you as this holier than thou person. But our kids need to know that, hey, they can pray internally and talk with God and have a conversation going on with God while things are going on around them, and God will direct our path. So I just want to share that.
Powerful, my brother. Powerful, my brother. I get out of that we must explain to our children to depend on God's instructions for us. And when and if we miss it, we know that God reveals due to His love and mercy. I'm going to shorten that more concisely, but that's what I got in the loan. We must explain to them. We depend on God for instruction, but we may miss it. We may miss God. But when we do, we then rely on His grace and mercy. Beautiful. Well stated. We got 13 of my brothers, and you know, we've come to that point. Everybody mic is open that has spoken. Those that have not, your mic is not open. But if anyone has any final word before we exit, we're going to go ahead and exit. and allow you B-ball fans to enjoy your favorite team. And is there any final comments? Yes, sir.
This is Sergeant Major. Just let everybody know it's 15, 34. 24.
It's what now? What is it? What is
15
it?
To 24, Miami.
Oh, Miami's leading. Okay, you're Miami. No, you was a Celtic. What were you, a Celtic?
Huh? Miami. No, Miami.
Oh, you Miami?
Miami?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, look at the OKC.
You'll be like my baby. She for whoever's with it.
Right.
Whoever's with
right.
it. That's who she's for. All right. Hey,
amen.
Hey, Reverend Willie J, would you close us out with a prayer tonight? We'll be a little different. Close us out with a prayer, would you, my brother? He may be on mute then. Okay. Who else want to close us out on a prayer? Anybody else that's not engrossed or on mute? Close us out with a word of prayer. Now, don't everybody jump in one time. Now, I know you're still out here. I'll go ahead and close us out. These brothers must be looking at the game. Jeff gave them the score of the game, and all of a sudden, they done got mute. So, Father, we praise you for these brothers and sisters tonight. I don't know a couple of these numbers that are on the board, but I praise you and I thank you, Father, that you will grant them whatever needs they may have, that, Father, when they go out and come in, they'll be blessed, Father. I pray that they will use the spirit and the power of encouragement to lift the life of another. Whatever needs, Father, that have been spoken and those that have been unspoken, we touch and agree, Father, that all things are made whole. We remind you, Father, that you said whenever we would get together and agree on something, Father, that it was already done in heaven. We loose and release right now, Father, fear, doubt, and unbelief. We loose and release right now, Father, thoughts of impossibility, thoughts, Father, to hurt or harm, to steal, kill, or destroy. And, Father, we bind to our minds, to our hearts, to our souls, to our spirit, the love that you make available to us, knowing that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Father, we thank you for being in our midst tonight. We thank you for these men of valor, these great men of God. And forgive me for any other lady that may be on the line or called in. We thank you in all ways, in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. My brothers, have a great evening. We praise God for you, and we thank God for you. And we'll just close it with this short 1 minute agape love.
Agape love.
Enjoy.